Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you have a Bible, go to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter number 7. Go there in your Bible. We're going to jump in just a moment. Do you feel good today? Anybody love coming to the house of God? I love church. I love being in the house of God. And I got to admit, I love James River. I got to say it. I love this church. I love this house. And I think I love it so much because I love Andy's ice cream. If I'm being honest, I love the barbecue. Y'all know I already had barbecue on this trip. Come on, somebody. The spirit will break out when you get into them ribs. I'm telling you right now. And I got to be honest, I love your pastors. And I'm just so grateful for their life and their leadership. Come on, clap, y'all. Just take a moment. Let's give honor where honor is due. If you love this incredible couple right here, Pastor John and Pastor Debbie, can you take a second and show your appreciation for their leadership, their integrity, their faithfulness? Praise God. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. And you know, the Bible teaches us that if you love your pastors, to buy them Starbucks gift cards. But just to see what you've built and to really just watch what God has done through this house for over 3 decades. And anybody could show up for a short amount of time and be faithful, you know, in some good seasons. But to go through this for 3 decades of faithfulness, we just want to say we salute you and that we're with you. And we want to say over James River that the best is yet. Come on, clap one more time. Thank God for your pastors. Amen. Well, I'm fired up to be here. My wife was in, y'all see my wife in the video? My goodness. Made me smile so big. She's back at home holding it down with our church in Los Angeles. We started our church. We just celebrated 10 years of being a church in LA. And this is pretty cool. We just crossed over 14,000 people have said yes to Jesus in 10 years. And that's with almost 2 years of not being able to gather. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're seeing people get saved, filled with the Spirit, and delivered from the spirit of the Dallas Cowboys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, she came in a Mazda, left in a Honda. Okay, go in your Bible to the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse number 9. I want to jump in. Can we clap and thank the worship team for being amazing? How about these new songs? Anybody loving James River worship? Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. I didn't know how great it was till I, you know, when they lead worship. Worship, you know, is good. When you stop singing, you just go, Okay. So, James River worship. Okay, praise God. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 9 says this. He had begun, talking about Ezra, he had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month. And he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month. So, Cinco de Uno. For the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. I like verse 10 so much. Let's read it again. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. I want to preach a message today. Write down the title. It's called Obsessed. Obsessed. And I just like this because what you see in Ezra is you see a man that was obsessed. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be flippant or casual about my faith. I want to be obsessed about my Jesus. Come on, clap if you want to be somebody that's obsessed. And I like that because we live in a culture that whatever they're about, we're all about in our culture. Like if you're into something, you are all the way into something. That's why I already seen some Kansas City Chiefs jerseys today. Okay, I already seen it. Chiefs Nation, I already seen it. But we live in a culture that if somebody gets into something, they are radical and fanatical about it. Like, has this hit Missouri yet? The ladies walking in the weighted vests, has this happened yet? I cannot drive through my neighborhood in the morning without all the women walking through our neighborhood with the weighted vest on. The weighted vest thing has gone crazy. Or do you have any friends that make sourdough bread yet? The sourdough bread thing is crazy. People get into, or do you have a friend that does CrossFit? You know the number one rule of CrossFit? Tell everybody you're in CrossFit. People get obsessed with stuff. Or did you see recently there was this girl that was on her fiance's podcast? Her fiance has a podcast with his brother, and this girl was on the podcast, and she was talking about maybe her potential new album coming out and all these different, is she going to do the Super Bowl? And her fan base, what do they call the fan base again? The Swifties, yeah. And they went crazy because those people, don't mess with them, they are obsessed. But I'm just telling you, if the world is going to be obsessed with their stuff, come on, Christians, we should be obsessed with our stuff. Oh, come on, give them a praise today. I'm not ashamed to let the world know. I'm not a fan of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm not cold. I'm not lukewarm. I'm on fire for God today. I'm obsessed. Oh, I love this because listen, obsession with self is the surest way to depression, but obsession with God is the surest way to joy. If you get obsessed with yourself, I'm telling you, it's going to end up in depression. Maybe the depression is a result of your obsession. Because if you get obsessed with God, you're going to be filled with overflowing. You're going to be filled with praise. You're going to be filled with joy. I heard someone say, the other day, joy. Jesus, others, you. Maybe we need to put God back on the throne of our life. It's God first. What did God say? You shall have no other idols before me. It's Jesus, then others. You want to live fulfilled? Serve people. Love people. Add value. It goes, Jesus, preferring others, and I am last. Oh, I love this scripture because Ezra, he wasn't half-hearted. Oh, I'm telling you, Ezra was devoted. He was obsessed. And I'm telling you, he was obsessed with three things. Write down the first thing that Ezra was obsessed with. He wanted to learn it. He wanted to learn the Bible. He was devoted. Read verse 10 again. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law. I'm telling you, Ezra was obsessed with this book right here. Anybody believe in the Bible today? Where are my Sunday school people at? The B-I-B-L-E. I come on, clap for all the church people that grew up in the house. We still here. But I love the Bible. I love the living, breathing Word of God. I love that the Bible says that this Word is alive and it's active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the bone and the marrow. It separates the soul and the spirit. This thing exposes us for who we really are. This is the only book in the history of the world that when you read it, the author himself comes to sit with you to teach you what is in the pages. I'm telling you, if your Bible is messed up, your life won't be. I believe in the Bible. I believe in every single book. I believe in every single word that's written. What about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? It says, all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Theonousos is the Greek word there. It's literally, man didn't write this book. God wrote this book. It's straight from heaven, and it's useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or the woman, come on, DFL, or the woman woman of God may be fully equipped to do every good work. You know what the Bible just taught us? God's word will teach you what to do. It'll teach you what not to do. And it will teach you what to do when you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is straight from God. The Holy Spirit overwhelmed the pen of man, gave us 66 books. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to subtract from it. It's perfect the way that it is. By the way, I'm not trying to lower God's word to fit into my life. I'm trying to raise my life to fit into God's standards. Somebody say amen. All scripture is God-breathed and it's useful. If it's useful, you should use it. I'm old enough to remember these cheesy preachers that used to be like, you know, the problem is we got churches that spend more time in Facebook than they do the book. It's like, okay, pal, let's calm down. I get what you're saying, but don't do that one again. And if we'd spend more time in the book, all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be fully equipped to do every good work. I love the Bible. You know, I've yet to meet the person in church that's just like, you know what I love? You know what I just love? I go to my life group because I love being rebuked. I love it. And I showed up at life group and I got rebuked and I was like, this is why I'm here. But you know, every time I read the Bible, this book will cut you up. When I read this thing, it rebukes me and it tells me we don't talk like that. We don't post like that. We don't comment like that. We don't use our money like that. We don't use our body like that. We don't raise our children like that. Come on, is there anybody thankful today that all scripture is from the mouth of God? Clap today if you believe. It will teach you, rebuke you, correct you. Give them a louder thanksgiving if you believe in the B-I-B-L-E. I'm a Bible believer. Look up on the screen. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Oh, I love Ezra. Ezra said, I'm going to read this thing. I want to learn about the poetry books. I want to learn about from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Show me your word. Open up my eyes so I can see wonderful things from your word. I'm not done learning it. I'm not done memorizing it. I'm not done studying it. Oh, I love Joshua chapter 1. What did it say? It said, memorize this stuff. When I went to Bible college, I'll never forget, I was going to Bible college, and at 19, I got hired at my first church, and I worked at a church in East LA, East Los Angeles. The city was 92% Hispanic, and it was in the hood. It was in the barrio, Batos Locos Forever. So I go to Bible college in the morning till about noon. We get a little lunch, and then we drive 30 minutes to go work at the church, and the guy that invited me, he got hired to do the junior high, and I got hired to do the high school. So we go to Bible college in the morning, we get a little something to eat, and then we drive to the church to go to work. We were so obsessed with learning the Bible that on the way leaving Bible college to the office, we would do flashcards to memorize the scriptures to put it into our heart. So the driver was the one, whoever drove, was the one that got challenged, and the passenger was the one that would read the flashcards and see how good they knew it. So you would be driving and get challenged, and the other person would go, okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And the driver would be like, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it both day and night, that you may be careful to observe all that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will have good success. And the pastor would be like, okay. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that now lives through me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man who gave his life as a ransom. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his ways, but by taking heed according to your word. And we would memorize back and forth. You know you love the Bible when you leave Bible college to get in the car to study the Bible. I'm telling you, the same passion I had at 19 is the same passion I got at 46, still wanting to learn, still wanting to grow. Come on, clap today if you're not done learning about what the Bible has. Give him a praise if you want more of God. You want to know the difference between the religious and the relationship? Religious people are like, man, heard that. I know, I know that one. I've been there. But when you're in a relationship with God, you're like, I can't get enough of God's word. Religious people are like, Noah and the flood. Okay, yeah, I get it. David and Goliath, I get it. Oh, you're talking about them boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I get it. I heard it. But when you're hungry for God's word, you're like, tell me again. I want to know a new facet of his grace. I want a greater revelation. I want a greater understanding. I want knowledge. I want insight. I want wisdom. And I want more of God. Blessed are those that are hungry and those that are thirsty, for they shall be filled. Come on, is there anybody here today that is hungry for the living, breathing word? Come on, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Give him a praise if you're like Ezra, you want to learn it. I'm telling you, the best part of my day, I'd rather read the Bible than teach the Bible. The best part of my day, I get up early in the morning before the sun comes up, and I sit, I make a mean French press in the morning. By the way, I want to just say this. Do not expect God to speak to you if you're drinking matcha. The Lord will never move through matcha. And I rebuke that foul spirit out your mouth right now. You've been duped into sin. God speaks through coffee. Somebody say amen. Let the nectar of heaven flow in our life. Hallelujah. And I get me a little coffee, and I sit there. I gotta get up before the boys get up. And I read this thing, and the Lord comes to meet with me. Because I'm trying to learn it. How about you? Because I haven't arrived yet. How about you? I don't know it all. Ezra said, I'm going to be devoted to this thing right here. And I'm going to do my best. You know, when God set kings in the Old Testament, the first thing that he would require them to do is to every day read and rewrite the law. Look here in Deuteronomy, if you don't believe me, Deuteronomy chapter 17. When he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. I want to say, if God assign kings, how much more for king's kids? Come on, you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we need to be in the Bible. Come on, clap if you believe it today. I'm not done learning the Bible. I'm hungry to grow. My dad used to say that old saying, son, if your Bible's messed up, your life won't be. And I want to encourage you. I love the Bible app. Anybody got the Bible app on their phone? Man, get the Bible app, go to Barnes & Nobles or Amazon or Target. Get you a Bible, amen? So the first thing Ezra wanted to do, he wanted to learn it. He wanted to learn it. I wanted to learn. Here's the second thing. He wanted to live it. I love that, because it's one thing to learn what the Bible says. It's a whole nother level to apply what the Bible says. It's one thing to know the scriptures. It's another level to apply the scriptures. See, God didn't bring you to church today to give you a bunch of information. That's just head knowledge. God didn't bring you to church today to get some inspiration and you feel all inspired. No, God wants information to drop down to get inspiration, but to get all the way into our feet to become application. I want to take what I know and put it in my feet. That's why I'm applying what God's word has to say. Somebody say amen. So watch what Ezra did. Ezra devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law. Put up the definition, observance. Observance means putting it into practice personally before teaching others. See, I think our problem today is we know and we try and tell everybody else what they should do, but we have a problem applying it ourselves. Jesus goes, the problem with y'all church people is you keep pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye, but if you look in your own eye, there's like a big old plank. I'm too old to try and worry about you. I'm trying to worry about this guy. I'm trying to arrest this husband and this father and this follower of Jesus. I'm trying to apply what the Bible has to say into my life. I don't want to just know the word. I'm not a hearer of the word. I'm a doer of the word. Come on. Somebody clap and praise the Lord if you want to put it into practice. Most of us are satisfied on knowing. The only thing that pleases the Lord is doing. We know a lot, that doesn't mean we live a lot. The greatest testimony of your faith is not what you know, it's how you live. And we got, I'm telling you, pastor in LA, I pastor in L.A., and you know all the girls in L.A., they're like, Pastor Chad, that was such a good message. I got goosebumps. No, I got chicken skin. Pastor Chad, you're not going to believe it. I got chicken skin. I'm like, first of all, I don't know what chicken skin is. Oh, my gosh, I just got it again. I got chicken skin. And I'm like, do y'all think that I'm preaching the word so somebody can get chicken skin? There it is again. Oh, my gosh, it's chicken skin. No, God doesn't want you to just feel something. God wants you to do something. And Ezra goes, I'm going to be obsessed with studying it. I'm going to be obsessed with putting it into practice. We're talking about practice. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to apply this to my life. I'm going to do my best to try and raise my family right, to try and be a good husband or a good mother. I'm gonna try and apply God's word. I'm telling you, I grew up with parents. My mom and my dad love God. I grew up with a mom that read the Bible. My mom's a short little Hispanic lady. She immigrated to the United States of America when she was in middle school. She's legal. Don't call nobody. My mom's good. She got a card. Don't you call nobody. She's good. We're good. And every night, my mom, she had this burgundy Bible. It was always on her bed or her nightstand every night. And I would get up in the morning and make my way to the breakfast table, and the burgundy Bible had made its way to the breakfast table my whole life. And I grew up in the era, my mom used to pack me every day a brown paper sack lunch every single day. And I knew my mom loved me because she would cut my sandwich in half. Like, if your mama didn't cut your sandwich in half, I don't know how to tell you this, she didn't love you. And my mom would cut my sandwich in half. I would get like a little fruit and a Capri Sun and a granola bar. And my mom would write me a note with scripture on it every single day. Every single day. She'd start the note like this. Mijo, I lost you. And then she would write a psalm or a scripture. Do you know what it's like to be in the seventh grade trying to read Psalm 84? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a gatekeeper at the tent of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I watched my mom study the Bible and do her best to live the Bible. She wasn't perfect. She made mistakes, but I watched her do her best to read something and apply something. I wonder the testimony of faith that you're going to give to your generation and to your children of saying, I'm not just one that goes to the house. I'm the one that applies the word of God. I'm putting it into my feet. Somebody praise him like you want to live according to the scriptures. Matthew 7, watch what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew up against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the what? Yeah. See, chicken skin is not building a rock. Living according to the word is building the rock. And Ezra was devoted. Ezra was that. He was obsessed. I'm going to study the word and I'm going to live the word. I'm believing for us that our best days of living are in front of us, that we're going to live not for the glory of our name, but we're going to live for the glory of his name. And if God said it, we're going to do it. Come on, clap if you want to apply. If you want me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. If you want me to pray and lay hands on the sick, I'm going to pray and lay hands on the sick. If you want me to be holy because you're holy, I'm going to be holy. If you want me to walk in truth and righteousness, I'm going to walk in truth and righteousness. Whatever God's about, I'm about. And I'm not just one that reads it. I'm the one that applies it. And I'm going to put your word in front of my eyes, but I'm going to put your word all the way into my feet because I live for the glory of your name. I live for the glory of your renown. I live for something bigger than myself. I'm obsessed with God. Give him a praise if you're obsessed. Ezra's like, I need more. Give me more flashcards. Give me more time. Get the matcha out of here. Get the coffee in here. I gotta read this thing and I gotta study it. And I gotta live it. I wanna live it. I wanna apply it. From Genesis to Revelation, I'm putting it into practice. And then here's the third one. Ezra wanted to teach it. Oh, I love that. Go back to verse 10. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees, to teaching. See, I think where most church people go wrong, we maybe end up at study. We're hoping to get to live, but nobody ever considers that we're called to teach. God did not limit your life into the categories of read the Bible, live the Bible, and leave it up to the Lindell family to teach the Bible. Leave it up to the campus pastors and the youth pastors. Those are the teachers. See, I don't think you get to the fun stuff until you get into the telling others part. Ezra goes, I'm gonna read this thing, but as passionate as I am about studying is as passionate I'm gonna be about teaching it. And I'm gonna tell the whole world, I'm a nobody trying to tell the world about a somebody, that if God could do it for me and my family, God could do it for you and your family. Somebody thank him today. If you know that you've been called to, come on, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it hide it under a bush. Oh no. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. If you look at the people that encountered the love of Jesus in the Bible, Jesus would often tell them, hey, he would say, hey, do me a favor. Keep this between us. And they were always like, for sure, 100%. I'm not gonna tell nobody. And they'd run back to their village. Ah, he changed me. Because when you encounter grace, you cannot stay the same. And when you encounter grace, you can't keep it a secret. You gotta tell the word. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell my cousin. Everybody got a cousin that needs Jesus. I gotta tell my cousin. I gotta tell my coworker. I gotta tell my friends. I gotta tell my social media followers. He changed me. And when somebody's like, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are to tell others about Jesus? Oh, don't get it twisted. I'm not teaching because I'm amazing. I'm teaching because he's amazing. I have not come to boast about me. I've come to boast about what God's done. And Ezra was obsessed. I'm going to study this thing. I'm going to study it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to try my best. I might not get it right every day. I might not get it right every day. But my Bible says, though a man falls seven times, he still gets back up and he does his best to live for the glory of God. And I think the problem, you know, when people are like, church is boring. I'm like, fam, you're boring. Do you know how fun it is to tell somebody I met a man that changed my life? Do you know how thrilling it is to tell the world I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to tell everybody I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. I'm not ashamed to teach my children. I'm not ashamed to teach my neighborhood. God is good. Come on, just read this last scripture with me. Romans, go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring. Come on, church. We don't got bad news today. We got good news. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How beautiful are the feet. Ezra was like, I get it. You called me to study and I'm going to memorize. But you know, the Bible says that knowledge will puff up, but love will edify. So I'm not just going to read this thing. I'm going to try my best to live it so that people don't think that I'm living a double standard or a hypocritical lifestyle. And I'm going to do my best to teach others about the goodness and the grace of Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. The first time I ever heard that scripture, my sister, my little sister, she was a track star when we were in high school. My sister, we went to the largest high school that you could attend in the state of Washington. I grew up in the Seattle area. And my little sister, 4 years in a row, placed second place at state. And she came in as a freshman with another girl that was a freshman. And 4 years in a row, the other girl beat her at state. 4 years in a row. And my sister had offers to go run at every big university across the nation. And I'll never forget going into her senior year, she had a foot injury. And we were at a summer camp. And we were at a church summer camp. And my father knew the minister that was there preaching. And my dad asked this guy, will you come pray over my daughter's foot? She's going into her senior year. She's a track star and her foot's hurt. Will you lay hands and believe that she'll recover? And so this guy, we got around as a family, this guy comes and lays hands on my sister's foot. And it's the first time I heard this scripture ever. He's praying over my sister. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And when he said it, I was like, thank God she's got shoes on because she does not have beautiful feet. My first thought was, man of God, you don't know what's behind that shoe. So he's not a prophet, clearly. And it marked me. I heard that phrase, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. You and I are ambassadors. You and I are conduits. You and I are representatives. We're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt makes everything better and light makes everything brighter. And I'm tired of Christians trying to shine bright in already bright places. I think you and I have been called to shine bright in the darkest places of Missouri and the darkest places of Springfield. I think God's called us to rise up as a remnant for such a time as this. And I don't know about you, but I'm not done learning. I'm not done living. And I'm definitely not done teaching. And I don't know about you, but I want to live for the glory of the living God. I'm trying to live my life that when I enter through the pearly gates, I can hear those words, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant, with whom I'm well pleased. You fought the good fight and you finished the race." Is there anybody at James River that's down to get a little bit obsessed with the glory of God? Jesus, we love you and we need you today. Oh, come on, if you believe it, lift your voice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.